cotton variety development.
Good morning. So Greg Holt originally asked me to address this topic, and not just on seed size, but other varietal considerations during the continuing education portion of the Gin School in Lubbock. So it's exploded a little bit. And so this is not results of a scientific presentation on correlations between yield components or any of that. A little bit of a review on variety development process, where some decisions are made at certain points. And then we look at a few trends in variety development, trends in the decisions people make about purchasing their varieties, and trends toward, of course, seed size. So this is a very general schematic on how you develop varieties. You have to first set your objectives. If your certain objectives are not in that list, they might get overlooked and not paid attention to. But breeders will go out all over the world and try to find sources and genetic resources to address those objectives. And you start out with lots and lots and lots and lots of options, and then you have to evaluate those to stabilize them, make decisions, and finally select locally adapted varieties. So early generations, very large numbers. Later generations, you can do more evaluations, but you have fewer numbers. You've already eliminated a lot of things. And our question is, what can realistically be tested at each of these stages? So thousands of bulls, you only have individual plants or maybe a 25 bull sample that you're dealing with for each of those genotypes. And those are generally processed on a tabletop gin. It's very, very easy at this stage to measure lint percent and HBI fiber properties. That's economically feasible to do at this stage. You can calculate bull size. And visually, we look at things like bull type, plant type, leaf hair, seed fuzz density, and some disease response. But when you get to the later generations, you've already eliminated some combinations of traits and characteristics. And you have more fiber and seed that you can look at. This is generally processed on a research gin, 10 or 20 saw research gin. You can get gin turnout. You can maybe add aphis fiber properties. And in this stage, if your students don't hate you too much, they can sit down and count 100 seed and weigh it and get a seed index. But this is probably the first stage where we might be measuring seed size. You do multi-location testing, you get a lot of performance testing at that stage. So breeding is not a project. It's a process, it's a continuous process. And you feed back from the bottom into the top and say, okay, maybe we need to look at this characteristic with an Archer and Pleasant Pool and improve this. So you select what parents you're gonna look at. But you can go through this whole process and hit a commercial gin and go, oh, we got seed coat fragments or something, because there's very few spots in this process where you might be measuring certain things that have an impact on commercial ginning. Not until you get to the seed increase stage and you've made those decisions already. And then I just wanted to bring up one thing, is if you've had a very, very successful variety in commercial variety development, you generally make elite line, time elite line crosses to make rapid genetic gain. And so if you've had a very, very successful variety and it happens to have a certain characteristic, then you're crossing with that variety and that's being carried through your line. I think I bring that up because Mr. Ashley asked me, are y'all just being obstinate about this seed size thing? Or well, maybe not. So here is a complex schematic of yield components in cotton. It's very complex, so obviously changing one can affect another, and balance is really the key. Now, Greg Holt made me look at way more journal articles and research than I ever wanted to do in preparation of this presentation, and I reviewed a lot of them. They don't always agree on everything, but I can tell you that all of the ones that I evaluated, 84%, an average of 84% of yield component contribution to yield is bulbs per unit, it's seeds per unit area of land. Bulbs per unit area of land times the seeds per bulb. That is not seed size. That is number of seeds per bulb, 84% of the yield components. And then it was really interesting. I read one paper, Kilby et al. In 2014, that suggested that some of the American varieties were developed looking at the seed per bulb type characteristics, whereas some of the Australian varieties were developed by lint per seed, and you had a different outcome there. Both good papers. This paper is the most recent one, Groves et al., 2016, and I listened to a paper on a Tuesday that reviewed some of this. Unfortunately, the two characteristics I'm most interested in, seed index and lint percent, were dropped from this analysis because of collinearity. So, boo. Bridge and Meredith, Hoskins and Stewart, Moser and Percy all talked about if you raise lint percent, you're going to raise yield. Maybe your bulb weight will go down, so you need to compensate for more bulbs. Your seed index is reduced. We know that. But can you breed for high yield and larger seed? Yes, absolutely. Bednarz et al. 2006, Liu et al. 2015. There's not a lot of relationship. It's not that we can't say we just can't get better yield because of small seed. That's really not the case. And I'm going to end this slide on my own. I found a paper by my own favorite mentor in my career, James Supak, along with Earl Minton. Maybe some of you know Minton and Supak. And their conclusion after looking all at these yield components was that medium-sized seed are optimal. And that's from a processing standpoint, and that's from a production standpoint. And I also want to say, when you get below those two red those two flags on those yield components, they're scientifically interesting, and they are cool, but you're overthinking it, in my opinion. Okay, cotton varieties available for sale. There were 117 upland cotton varieties from 7 companies in 2018. That was up from slightly from 113 in 2017. And up pretty significantly from 2016, there were 22 new ones then. And that's really reflecting right now what we call a technology shift, where you're going from the dual gene insect resistance and dual gene herbicide resistance to that next generation. And you'll see a dip in the number of varieties, and then you'll see it come back up. I just wanted to say on this slide to remind people, when you talk about cotton varieties, again, there's a brand name and there's varieties. So I try very hard to avoid saying field pine varieties are this or Fibromax varieties are that. They may have certain characteristics because of what we talked about before, making elite by elite crosses, but there are a range of different varieties which within each of those brand names, and it's always possible to change those. So I spend way too much time, it's Sean's fault, I spend way too much time on Plains Cotton Growers website with their yield, their seed cost calculator. It's a service Plains Cotton Growers provides. It's really excellent. It's not because I'm looking what to plant. It's because this tells me a lot of stories about how pricing maybe is reflecting inventory control changes or the desire to switch to a new technology and get rid of some varieties. It's really interesting. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, just to say that you're really being encouraged, farmers are, to go to the next type of technology. And I don't have this in seed size because I don't have the data available to me. And I could go to the National Cotton Variety Testing Program, or I could go to my own, but that does not really reflect what's in the market on seed size. What reflects what you guys see in a commercial gin is the varieties that are actually planted. So this is actually fiber length instead of seed size, but it shows, and we've seen some other presentations at this meeting, it does show where you, when you're back crossing a new technology into a variety, you're kind of stepping back about 5 years. And the first wave of varieties that come out, they may have a little bit lower fiber quality as you introduce a new technology, but breeding is a process and a continuous process, and those varieties continue to improve. So there are some periods where you see a real issue where there's just a few varieties with that technology, and if they have a certain seed size or if they have a certain variety, you're going to see in the market more of that during those 2 years as they're transitioning until they get some new varieties within that technology package. So here, I've updated this from my presentations that I started giving last April, and we run a five-location trial with the same commercial varieties in it across those five locations. It's a furrow irrigated, drip irrigated, center pivot irrigated, and two dryland locations across the Texas High Plains. We tested 48 varieties. These are the top 15 averaged across the variety. They differ very little in yield. And I just, on the at your right-hand side is the seed index. And within those top performing 15 varieties, we have quite a range from, there's an 11.3 in there. There's a 10.2 that actually has a lower lint percent. There's an 8. And there's quite a range, and the average is 9.3, which is a nice seed index. So you may have heard from some other breeders who may have used their commercial variety trial or may have used national cotton variety testing to look at, is there a trend towards smaller seed? And when you're looking at all the varieties that are available and all the varieties that are out there, you have quite a range. But we're going to look at it in a little different way. This is the new variety and strains. Very little difference. The average was a little bit higher. These are the varieties that will be coming on in a couple of years, but you still had a really lower range. You had a 7.8 seed index and a 10.3. And 11.6, that 11.6 is one that I use in there a lot, which is an old variety that's not for sale anymore, but it's still one of the best check varieties that are out there. Okay, that's really little, but what I did and I'll tell you before, as I said, okay, I've got these 48 varieties. And before I updated this from the 2017 data and I used 2016, I sorted those 48 varieties by seed index from the smallest to the largest. And last year it was really dramatic because the variety on the top was the number one variety planted in the USA. But what I did here is I separated it, and it doesn't matter that you can't see, but I went to the USDA AMS and put, these are sorted from the smallest seed to the largest seed, and those that are in red are in the top 20 varieties planted in the United States last year. But I also used this data set, said I wasn't gonna do anything scientific, but I asked my colleagues back there, my statistician is back there, Valerie and Carol, and said, would y'all just run a correlation analysis for me on this? The correlation of seed index to lint index is very significant, to lint percent. As lint percent goes up, seed size goes down. Very significant correlation. But the correlation of lint percent to yield is not significant. It is not significant in this data set, which represents the 48 commercial varieties that I tested this year. And it's not significant in a lot of data sets. However, we do use lint percent because it's easy to measure and it gives us an indication of what we might do. And I've always told my students, be careful with really, really, really high lint percent. You need to check the seed size. Be careful with really, really low lint percent. You're never going to be competitive. As my mentor, James Supak, says, stay in the middle lane. Now we're going to go through just a little series of slides about how market share by brand has shifted and changed in the last 10 years. The green will be Delta Pine, the two different shades of blue will be Stonebull and Fibermax, pink will be Phytogen, gold there will be Americot, Altex, and Dynagro is yellow, and then miscellaneous in red. So there have been some shifts and some significant shifts. Then this is the Southeast, which hasn't had that significant of a shift. South Central And some of this, these shifts, these bigger yellow and bigger pink, do tend to reflect shifts in herbicide technology as weeds develop resistance to single herbicides such as glyphosate, and varieties began to come on board that had other herbicide options that really drove a lot of shift of this market share by brand. Southwest, boom. So you see some big changes. Now, what I want to do, because I showed you some data that says we have all kinds of seed sizes available in the varieties, commercial varieties among the 117 for sale. We have a lot of different seed sizes, and if I did a correlation index on that, I'd probably say there's not a lot of shift in seed size. But what I did was from the varieties, from the data I had available to me, was to overlay seed size categories with market share of the varieties. So I always do this on a stoplight basis so you can see. Red is the smallest seed. Red stop is the smallest seed. Yellow is a caution. It's the next smallest category. Green is that nice medium category. Blue ribbon is even larger than that. And then I have a royal purple for the largest seed size. And what I did was take the USDA AMS cotton varieties planted by variety, by market share. And then I took my own yield test for that year and categorized those seed sizes, like seed sizes, because I do make my students count seed and measure seed index. So this is for the USA. You can see in 2008, we had a pretty nice peace sign with blue, green, and yellow. And then by 2018, you have almost half of it in the yellow caution zone. The red shows up, and the blue has gotten smaller. So we go southeast, and Harrison told me I could take as much time as I want, and my apologies to anyone who's here from the west. Because of time considerations, I took out the west slides. So this is southeast, and you can see that almost all of the green size category has been replaced by caution yellow, and they actually had some purple seed sizes back in 2008, but you've got a little bit bigger size of red. South Central, again, they had a big old chunk of big seed back in 2008 in the purple category, and you're seeing more than half in the yellow kind of caution zone. You still see quite a bit of green, and their red sliver is pretty small in 2018. That was a little bit, I've updated this to 2018, and that's actually an improvement over what we saw in 2017. Transitions. Southwest, we had a lot of blue and purple and green, and we don't anymore. But again, I think even here we saw a little bit of improvement, and we have now been two, maybe 3 years into the cycle of Xtend Flex or new herbicide lines. We've got some new varieties coming on, and I have some hope. But I think looking at the data this way shows a little bit about seed size and what you're actually seeing at a commercial gen instead of analyzing variety test data, which is the way I decided to do it. And really, I guess I could have put those Western slides in, but my parting thoughts here are I started out in textile engineering. We used to have breeder spinner conferences. I was just telling Fred Borland back on Tuesday that, you know, every grant proposal I read on fiber quality and every paper I review says spinning speeds have increased and we must improve fiber quality. And we've really had a big focus on fiber quality and fiber quality. You know, fiber is a large value component in cotton. But what I told the continuing education, what Carol Kelly there has shared with some of them is communication needs to flow in order to get your ideas in that process, in that continuous process of variety development. Communication about issues about ginning don't flow to variety developers, I think, in an effective manner. Most of the seed size issues from a variety development standpoint reflect what their primary customer grower is concerned about, whether it's germination issues or that kind of issues. And those aren't always really well coordinated with seed size, so they do come up. But And I think communication coming back, they have the idea, well, the seed size is just having to be a value issue, when certainly there's technical issues. And if there are technical issues in seed size, then we really need to have a conduit debate to be able to communicate that, to look at the effectively objective setting and breeding programs. So it does take a long time to develop new varieties, but it's a continuous process at every stage of that variety development process. There's something in the pipeline at that chain, at that stage. But change is most effective at the early stages. And we need to, if there's something we need to change that's affecting any part of our industry that is associated with variety development, we need to get that communication in and started at the early processes. And that's really all I have until they make me sit. Oh, I do have one more thing. High yield is not equivalent to low seed weight. Parents matter. What you start with and cross with matters. Selection matters. What you use to evaluate your material moving forward matters. And production issues are not equivalent to processing issues. Those are my final thoughts. And I think we'll sit this panel, or you can ask me questions now. Yes. There is, but it is complex. You know, you have to you know, I didn't look much at that because I was really more focused on the seed size yield component issue, but certainly there can be. And that there's some, if it's truly a genetically smaller seed and you have high density and high seed weight, you might get good germination. I don't think that's a great way to go, because actually small parameter seed is what's causing maybe some of the technical issues with ginning. But yes, I think that I wouldn't call it a correlation, because like I said, this is not a scientific talk, but there certainly is some issues when you have small seed size for germination. It's harder. If you have really small seed size, you really don't want tough production conditions during the planting season. Yeah. That's to address the germination issues. And that's, I think that's what inspired me to say yes to Greg, which I don't really like to do, is because I've heard some of these when they're getting into those lower levels of that yield component and say, well, if we can mess with this one, we can address germination issues, but we can still have high limb percent. And I'm like, you know, technically some of those really small seed issues are maybe what causing problems in the gin, so we need to look at both of those, yeah. Yes, it's because it's something that's very easy to do early, the individual plant selection. You're ginning something on a small tabletop gin, and you can weigh the seed and you can weigh the lint, and it's a number you have. You don't have yield numbers at that point. You don't have a lot of numbers, but you have that. So it is something that you'll use as a selection criteria to move things forward. Yeah, it's very common to use that early in the selection. But what you might have done is maybe eliminate a lot of things that would have been high yielders with a little less limb percent. But when you do that aggressively, you will move seed size lower in your breeding program. You'll move it. Yes.
It does look like there has been a bit of a move. You mentioned that, but that was pretty significant.
Yes, that moved. In fact, I thought, well, maybe I'll just keep using 2017 data because that's not as pretty and dramatic. But I thought truly, and fortunately there's some guys in here who remember that, truly that, you know, what it addressed to me is just because we have some small seed size issues now doesn't mean we can't change it. And especially if we start talking about it and realizing what the issues are, not just in germination and not just in, you know, higher lint percent, but in some of the other issues that affect other parts of our industry.